ladies. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 23 tonight. Proverbs 23, as I mentioned this morning, unusual title, Only a Mirage. Now you've seen when the folks are traveling through the desert, and boy, it's gotten dry, and they're looking for water, passing over the sand dunes, and all of a sudden they look with jubilation, and on the horizon, an oasis awaits them. They can just make it. When they get there, nothing but a pile of sand. It was only a mirage. Only a mirage. Proverbs 23, verse 17. The Bible reads, Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Father, we do pray now for the power of the Spirit of God, Lord, to move in our hearts tonight as we open this precious book, that, Lord, we might receive from you the things that will produce in us the fruits of the Spirit and a vibrant testimony for Jesus. And God, that you'd take from us all those things that would be a hindrance, all those things that would be a vexation, things that are vanity. Would you drive them from us by the power of truth? God, we ask you to build a hedge about this place, protect us from the power and influence of the wicked one, that there might be liberty in the house of God for the Holy Spirit to minister in our hearts and lives. Bless us now, we pray. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I look at the word envy here, and it's an interesting word. The two roots of the word, one of them means to see, and the other is against. In other words, it's kind of like that a person who is filled with envy sees everything against him. That he is in a state of mind where bitterness has come in, and where he has lost his sense of joy. He is consumed by what he lacks and blind to what he has. Envy is a very powerful and corruptive thing in our lives. And so we find in the Scriptures throughout that we are warned in the Bible about the danger of envy and that it is to be forsaken, it is to be rooted out of our lives, because it will bring damage to us if it lingers. All of us will certainly face the temptation of envy, and there will be moments that pass through our mind, and we will see things in our first response sometimes. Listen, is to have that overwhelming sense of discontent. And that happens to us all if we're honest. Let's hope we don't get to the point. If some of you are as old as I am, you'll understand this illustration, that we do not sing the old hee-haw song, Gloom, Despair, and Agony on me. Okay. For you young ones, ask an older one about that, all right? Let's hope it's not that bad. I have met people who had that attitude, right? The fellow with the old story I heard when I was a boy, I didn't know what Limburger cheese was, but I found out later, it stinks to high heaven. And the fellow who liked it, but he got some in his mustache, and so every time he walked out, he said, the whole world stinks. Just the whole world stinks. And sometimes the problem is just caught in your mustache, okay? And sometimes, listen, in our life, we're not careful. This stirring of discontent comes, and sometimes it is triggered by the apparent gain and gaiety of others. I use that word in the old sense, okay? The gain and gaiety of others, the carefree, the frolic, the possessions, the pleasure, and all the things that are doing. Sometimes it stirs a spirit of discontent. And when it is triggered by other people, and our Scripture warns us here, when it's triggered by sinners, we are to be warned because sometimes they become the object of contempt. And that can result in great transgression. The Bible tells us and gives us an illustration. You remember the precious story of Joseph and his brothers? How the Lord had come and there was a special calling and relationship between the Lord and with Joseph, and he began to share the dreams that God had given him. And you remember what happened? His brethren despised him, and the Bible said, and the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. You see, sometimes envy can bring forth great transgressions. And people who might trigger this discontent can become objects of contempt in our life, and we certainly can misjudge them and mistreat them and offend them and harm them simply because it is our own envy. Some people you don't like, and the reason is not because of their faults, it's because of the lack of them. Because of the lack of them. Listen, we find that Saul, he moved with envy over David. But David was a righteous young man who walked close with the Lord. And out of Saul's own mouth was the testimony that he was a goodly person and the Lord was with him. And you know what? That just made him worse. He envied David. Why? Because David represented, I mentioned this morning, David represented what he wasn't, and he saw that. David's what Saul should have been. He wasn't. And so he was moved with envy. Matter of fact, when they brought Jesus before Pilate, they brought their charges. Even Pilate, the Roman leader, the unsaved religious council, had brought these charges. And even Pilate himself, the Bible records, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Even Pilate knew that. He knew that these religious leaders who were the hierarchy, who were the big men, who were God's men, who were the religious leaders of Israel, that Jesus came and he professed this great power of God and the wisdom of God. And so, listen, and just bypassed them altogether. And listen, that stirred them up with envy. Even Pilate knew that's why they brought Jesus to him. Wasn't anything of the true charges, but it was just simply envy that moved in their heart. And so, envy can be a dangerous thing. We're warned of it because it can make people the object of contempt, but also some become the object of emulation, that is, to pattern yourself after. We see when Israel went to Samuel, and they demanded of Samuel that we want a king. And you remember what they said? So we can be like other nations. You know what that was? That was a loss of your distinctive glory. You know why? Because Israel was like no other nation in the world, for God Himself dwelt in the midst of His people, and God was their king. No other nation in the world like unto Israel. And even Moses and the prophets, listen, gave many great, great, wonderful deliveries to the nation about how they were distinct and special and God's own and a prince with God, God's choice, God's purpose. And listen, they had a distinctive quality and glory in that God dwelt among them. What they want? They want to be like other nations. Be like other nations. You see, the object of emulation, and so the text warns us right here on that topic. In verse number 17, let not thine heart envy sinners. We are not to look upon sinners in an envious way, that is, that we desire life as they live it. It is wrong. Envy brings a curse. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. We're warned because envy, listen, brings a root of bitterness, and it begins to destroy the heart and the soul from within. Envy, listen, will take away the sweetness out of life. It will attack the spirit of gratitude and the spirit of grace. It blinds the eye to the true riches. It becomes a great thief, robbing us of the true joy and peace and contentment of life. It robs us of our love and mercy and compassion. It robs us of our friendship, fellowship, and communion. And so envy is a serious thing, and we're warned about it in Scripture. And so as you look at people, sometimes those temptations come. All of a sudden, we begin to wallow in the mire of self-pity. We look at others, boy, they got it made. And why them and why me? Why do I go through these things and they don't? Why do they have this and I don't have it? And listen, it becomes an all-consuming disease of the soul if you let it. And listen, it begins to take that sweetness out of life. It blinds the eye, listen, to what you do possess and the true riches that are ours. It robs us, listen, from the true spirit of thanksgiving, being thankful. Sometimes God has to take us to the woodshed until He creates again the spirit of thankfulness. You ever been there? Oh, listen, we thought we had it bad. God said, not near bad. Could be. Right? Sometimes, listen, God has to interrupt our little lives and shake up our nest. And God teaches us how to be thankful, how to appreciate things. It's amazing sometimes in life we have to come close to losing something before we appreciate it a lot of times. And so... this is the danger of envy in our life. The Bible says wrath is cruel, Proverbs 27:4. Anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? In Romans 13 it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And then he goes on to give us practical information about the children of light. He said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so you and I are to walk in the light of truth. We're to take on that armor of light. We're not to engage in the works of darkness of which He named drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, envying, and strife. But we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. You realize that envy is a fertilizer for the flesh. Man, if you want to see the flesh manifest itself, envy, woo, it will bring it out. Those twin sins of envy and jealousy will bring out an ugliness in a person's life like you ain't never seen. And so the Bible here is teaching us about the danger. Envy, in that text of Scripture, Romans 13, is because we haven't walked in the light of truth. It's a work of darkness. It's an occasion for the flesh to flourish. The attitude of being mistreated or having self-pity is the fertile ground for justifying our wrongs. When you're about to do something wrong, you know what you convince yourself? Well, this situation is right. I have a right to do that. I'll tell you, I've been mistreated. I've been falsely accused. I've been lied to. Gloom and despair agony on me. And so therefore, listen, then this is right for me to do. We justify it. Envy will feed that. Oh, man, it will feed it. And it will flourish in our life. You remember what happened when Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden? And God doesn't want you to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. for he doth know in the day either of you shall be as God. You know what the implication was? God's holding out on you. God's withholding something. He knows. Listen, that will be a blessing, a delight, a great reward, a great value. He was creating that spirit of discontent in order to get them to subject to that transgression of having sinned against God. And so we find here that in that temptation, he was creating a justified response in them to take of that fruit because it is something good and God simply withholding it. And so note with me in our text, let not thine heart envy sinners. Now what is it about sinners that might occasion the temptation of envy? I think if we're honest tonight, sometimes we look up and we look around us and we watch the world, and sometimes there's an apparent lightness or liberty or a carefree spirit. Sometimes we look at sinners and we watch them, and it's almost like, you know, they don't carry any burdens. It's almost like they're just carefree. That there's no restraint, that there's no regulation, that they're free from responsibility, it seems. And listen, just kind of a free spirit, doing whatever comes natural. And sometimes, if you're not careful, that will cross your path, and there will be a little bit of envy that begins to manifest itself in our life. Go where they want to go and do what they want to do and just seem to be free spirit. And let's be honest. Could we be honest tonight? Sometimes you get a little tired of being responsible. Huh? Don't that cross your path once in a while? And you say to yourself, you know, I'm tired of carrying the load. I'm tired of being accountable. I'm tired of being responsible. And listen, those temptations come and they're common to all of us. We face them. And then occasionally we see those who do not follow the principles that we've been taught and it seems like don't have a care in the world and seem to have an enjoyment of life and seem to have a carefree spirit, seem to have no real burden or obligation. And just seem like, listen, they are really enjoying the life they're living. But the truth is, you know what that is? It's the title of a message. It's a mirage. That's all it is. It's a mirage. A mirage is an optical illusion created by the refraction of light. It's an illusion because light has been bent. When you and I look at sinners and we see some things that stirs our heart and compels us and we desire sometime to be like them and to live like them, remind yourself it is a mirage. Listen, it is an optical illusion because the light has been twisted. It has been refracted. It has been altered. The light represents what? It represents truth. What you're seeing is not really true. It's an optical illusion. You see, the truth is that if the light were not bent, if the light were directed, if the light did penetrate, here's what it revealed. It revealed that the burden of sin is very heavy. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And if you and I look deeply in the light of truth, we find out that their seeming liberty, listen, is born out of an insecurity. The truth is, they're on the run, fleeing when no man pursueth. The truth is, when you and I look, the light reveals that their liberty and lightness is often associated with intoxication. Why? It needs an artificial stimulation. Why? Because it's not life that gave it to them. It is an illusion. It is an imagination. And so, when you and I look at this liberty and this likeness, the truth is they're living under the divine displeasure of the Almighty God. I want to tell you something. Living under that burden of having no peace with God, living under the burden of the guilt of one's conscience, does not bring likeness and liberty. The truth is, it brings great fear and insecurity and a lack of peace and a lack of joy. And that's the reason they use substances to create an artificial experience. I'm glad that the joy of the Lord is the real thing. I have a reason, listen, for joy. I have a reason for peace. I have a reason for my security. I have a reason for comfort and consolation that didn't come out of a bottle, it came out of a book. Because I have the promises of Almighty God, and I know that they are real and they are true, and they all shall come to pass. And so listen, as you and I look upon them, sometimes we have a one-dimensional vision. We see things on the surface because a mirage is light that has been bent. That is, truth has been obscured. The man trying to make his final steps through the desert, he sees what looks like is an oasis. Listen, of pleasure and of life support. And so he heads that way, but when he gets there, he finds out that what he has seen is not really true. It's only mirage, and all he has left is sand. And when you and I look at what the world has and what the world is coming to, we realize that there's not a foundation for their likeness or their liberty. The truth is they carry a heavy burden, and the Bible says here, "But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end." That end for sinners is horrifying. Horrifying. And we understand that what is the origin of this apparent likeness and liberty and gaiety of which the world seems to manifest? Remember this, it is a byproduct of unbelief. Unbelief. There are many people who have taken substances that give them moments of separation from life and its burden, but in truth, it is killing their bodies. It is destroying them. As you and I look deeper and we see, it is not envy that we should feel, but pity for those who must shortly endure the judgment of God. Notice here, the Bible says, "But be thou, in contrast, in the fear of the Lord all the day long." As you and I consider the great fear of the Lord, listen, we are respecting God and His Word as the truth. And listen, as we follow it, as we believe in it, God has taught us of an eternal prosperity and pleasure that will be to those who walk in faith and obedience. And so you and I, listen, we are trusting in the Lord. We're believing in God. And we believe that God will lead us to an eternal peace and eternal pleasure with Him. And so we fear the Lord and walk in that fear every day, for God is teaching us and showing us of the eternal great reward that is ours, and of the life of eternal bliss in having had a respect and reverence unto the truth He has revealed. So as you and I live out our lives, the Proverbs warns us here that we are to live in the fear of the Lord, for surely there is an end. There is an end. We know it is utter foolishness to live your life without considering the end. The end. What's at the end of life? It's a day of an accountability. Right? A day of an accountability. I was, Rhonda and I were went over to get her some yogurt. She thought she might see some yogurt. So we headed out for some yogurt. We were passing by, and the radio was on. It was on the conservative talk thing. And there was a lady on there. And she was defending the right of her abortion. They were pushing her. I won't be graphic, but they even pushed her to the point where the baby was partially delivered. And the man said, "This is the process to finish it off." And pressed her for that. And said, "Here you are, and you are condemning our leadership for the waterboarding that saved lives, and yet you will not back up from defending those who would kill a life that was at the point of delivery, being completely healthy and sound." And you know what? I listened to a couple of minutes of that, could not stand it in her smart aleck rebellious responses. And so, you'll have to forgive my lack of compassion. I turned the radio off and I said, "Sister, I'll see you at the judgment. I'll see you at the judgment." Oh, what a day. There's coming an end, my friend. And guess who's at the end of life? God is. God is. And you and I, as we go through this life, listen, we are living unto an end. Right? We're living unto an end. Now, to the world, you know what that end is? In their mind, it's just the grave. That's all they want there to be, right? Just want to end at the grave. Some of them might think they're going to come back as a rock or a tree or a lizard, but anyway. Forgive my fleshliness, but if they did come back, I hope they'd be maggots. Okay? But anyway. That wasn't the Holy Spirit, that was just me. But anyway. Can't help that sometime, but that's the end to them. Just the grave, just the end. And to others, you know what it is? We're all going up there to the sky in a better place. You see. But you know what? The Bible lets us know there is an end. And lets us know exactly what to expect. And if you and I have not lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, have not put our faith in Him, not trusted Him as Lord and Savior, how the end is an eternal hell. But for those who have, there's the eternal heaven of being with God. And so, we're living to an end. And I'm glad that God has revealed what that end is. And matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 John that the love of God has brought us to that place where there's no fear, but we have boldness in the day of judgment. Isn't that amazing? Boldness in the day of judgment. Preacher, how could that be? Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He finished it all. And listen, He is the propitiation for our sins. That is, He satisfied God 100%. When He shed that blood for you, and that blood's applied, God is 100% satisfied that the debt was paid. What does the Bible say? Look at the bold words of the Bible. That we have no condemnation of them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Nothing to condemn. It's God who judges. And listen, it's God who has declared us justified. God, you know what God did? God declared the saved person justified, that is, before God, you stand before Him as if you had never sinned to start with. And listen, we are living toward that end. And that end, listen, is not horrifying. That end is the delight of God's children when we go into His presence and live forever. So what does the Bible say? Listen, God has taken the sting out of death. Taken the sting out of death. And now we know none of us want to go through the process of dying. But listen, the sting's been removed because we know where it ends up. It ends up swallowed up with life. And to be delivered and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are living unto an end. The world as living as if there is no end. And you know what? It's a mirage. It's simply imagination. They have twisted the light. And they've created an eternal destiny, either where we just don't exist, or whether we're all going to heaven in a better place. You know what they've done? They've taken the light and twisted it. It's refracted. It's showing something that's not real. And I listen to the secular world. I listen to the mouths of unbelievers. And I hear them pick out little portions. We mentioned this, I think, Wednesday night. They pick out little portions of Scripture. And they'll reference that. And then the other things, they simply push aside. You know what that is? That's refracting of light. That's making a mirage. That's not true. And so many people headed that direction. Aren't you glad that the truth sets us free? Oh, listen, I'm a free spirit tonight. Not because I make provision for the flesh to do as it will. I'm a free spirit because the Holy Ghost has made me free from sin and from darkness. And listen, I know where I'm going. I know what the end is going to be. I know where I'm going to live. I know what's going to happen to me. The Holy Spirit has come and brought that great truth and brought blessed assurance to our soul. And we are fully persuaded as we look to these days that we are headed to a certain end. And the Bible said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. There is an end to this faith, and it's with Jesus in glory. And so we're living every day for a glorious end, a great day of reward, a great day of deliverance. And listen, that is where we're headed. We are running the race because there is a finish line, and there is a trophy, and there's a crown and reward waiting for us when we get there. And so the sinner, as you and I look, there appears to be a likeness, appears to be a liberty, appears to be no burden. But listen, that's only a mirage that's been created. The truth is, the true light shows that there is a heavy burden of oppression, that there is a guilt that haunts them, that there is an unrest, there is an instability, and whatever liberty or likeness they manifest requires imagination or intoxication because it's not based on the truth. And you and I should not envy them. We should pity them because they have not prepared themselves to meet thy God. And listen, thank God we have and are ready to meet him. And so the Bible tells us, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Thank God that we're going to receive exactly what we've expected because we stand upon the Word of God and His eternal promise to us. Oh, be not envious of sinners. Be careful with envy. Brings rottenness to the bones. Listen, stirs up a great spirit of discontent, and it will swallow you up in a root of bitterness. But realize, anything on the plus side of hell is simply given us by the grace of God. I don't deserve anything but that, but God has blessed me beyond measure, and God is good. God is always good, always will be good. And because I'm His, I will always be blessed. And God will always take care of me. And for that, we ought to maintain the spirit of thanksgiving. And not allow that root of envy to come in and bring bitterness to our soul. God help us to be warned and to fight it with the great armor of life. That you and I are going to reach that expected end. And on that day, all is blessed beyond comprehension for God's children.